This next story is from my life. This actually happened to me. I call it First Kiss. She wasn't the first girl I ever had a crush on, but she was the first girl who ever liked me. I lived in New York City. I was 15. In the summers, my family and I stayed at my grandfather's house on the eastern end of Long Island. My father worked in the city during the week, came out on weekends. My older brother, Don, was 23. He worked with Ray, who was married to Ann. I think when Ann met me, she must have thought to herself, gee, Don's little brother is about the same age as my kid sister, Evelyn. So she went and told Evelyn. She must have done this because Evelyn called me at my home. She told me who she was and invited me down to her house. Wow! No girl had ever done that before. But I had to ask my mom because I needed a ride to get to her house. My mom was a little upset. Who was this aggressive and unknown young woman calling her son out of the blue? Well, it was Evelyn. Evelyn Vavruska. My mom did take me down. I met Evelyn's parents. And then my mother, who was still steaming, but kept a fairly calm exterior, took us to the beach one afternoon. She wanted to check Evelyn out. I think she was relieved to find out that Evelyn wasn't some kind of Jezebel. She was really quiet and shy. I liked her, probably in large part because she showed an interest in me. I started visiting Evelyn a lot. Either my mother or Dawn would drive me over to her house after dinner. She lived in the next town, so it was too far away for me to ride there on my bicycle. Her father, Mr. Vavruska, was a first-generation Pole, and he owned a junkyard right next to his house. In fact, it was also in front of his house, and around the sides of his house, and in the back of his house. And I'm sure if he'd lived alone without Mrs. Vavruska, it would also have been in his house. My mother would drop me off, usually early evening after dinner. It would still be light and warm, a summer evening. I would walk past the refrigerators with their doors removed, old stoves and car engines there on the lawn, to get to the back porch. I'd knock on the screen door of the kitchen, and Mrs. Vavruska would let me in. This scene was repeated exactly the same way every time I went down there. Mr. Vavruska would be sitting at the kitchen table in his undershirt. He was a big, brawny man, barrel-chested, very hairy across his back and shoulders. And he'd be sitting there reading the newspaper, and I'd say, "Hi, Mr. Vavruska," trying to be polite, you know. And he would grunt at me. Mrs. Vavruska was always very nice. She'd be cleaning up the dishes from dinner and washing them in the sink. She'd yell, "Evelyn, Bobby's here!" And I'd sort of stand there, self-conscious, nervous, sneaking glances at Mr. Vavruska out of the corner of my eye, wondering what he was thinking. Finally, Evelyn would materialize in a doorway. She was slender. She was blonde. I was glad to see her in part because then I could escape from the kitchen and Mr. Vavruska's brooding presence. Evelyn and I would go to the sun porch at the front of the house, which was screened in, very pleasant on warm summer evenings. We'd sit. We'd talk. Now, I'm not sure how it all began, but, well, you have to understand about music in those days, if you're old enough. In the mid-50s, the popular records for kids were called 45s. I loved rock and roll. I had a box of 50 45 records. Evelyn had an old beat-up phonograph. So one evening, I brought my box of records down, and I'd play them, and we'd sit and listen and talk about them. I'd tell her what I knew about the groups, when I bought the record, and I'm sure I bored her to death. Finally, she asked me to dance. Oh, brother. I got tense. I always thought of myself as a clumsy dancer. Actually, I didn't think of myself as a dancer at all. I'd only danced a few times at school and at a few humiliating parties. But I liked Evelyn. The desire to be close to her overcame my confusion and my fear. So our first dance was awkward and halting, but gradually I began to relax. And then the excitement of holding her so close thrilled me. This became our pattern, our evenings together. We would play my records. We would alternate fast dances and slow dances for an hour or so. We even didn't stop talking very much. The dancing became the focus of our time together. And then my brother or my mother would pull up out front in the car and beep the horn. I'd put all my records away, go back through the kitchen, say goodbye to Mr. and Mrs. Vavruska. Mr. Vavruska would grunt. I'd say goodbye to Evelyn at the screen door, and I'd go home. Oh, those evenings of dancing were magic. Even if I did step on her feet sometimes, and I continually got off the beat. I mean, rhythm wasn't exactly my middle name. But I especially liked the slow dances. It was incredible to hold her hand. Our hands were both damp, and to have my arm around her waist. But the part that was so absolutely stunning to me was the closeness of her face to mine. I had never been so close to a girl. I would study her ear, the delicate shape of it. I would examine the pores of her skin. I could smell her, a lightly scented soap. She didn't wear perfume. Sometimes I felt her breath on my neck, and it took my breath away. In those perfect moments, I wanted time to stop. After a couple of fast dances to Chuck Berry or Bill Haley, I would be fascinated at how her skin changed. It was flushed, damp with perspiration. I would notice how little curls of her hair would cling to her skin behind her ear at her temple. Ah, my heart broke over this young girl. This was something that had never happened in my life. I was transported. I felt fully alive. So, this was how the summer went on. Evenings of dancing on the sun porch. Finally, as we're getting into early August, I'm starting to think I want to go one step farther with Evelyn. I want to kiss her. Now, this is a big step because I'd never kissed a girl before. And I had braces on my teeth. I had these big stainless steel caps on each tooth, held together by a band of steel that at the time seemed like one of the cables from the Brooklyn Bridge. So I had to be careful. I didn't want to rip her face open or anything with my braces. And I wanted to do it right. I mean, I didn't know how to kiss. So I went to my brother. I certainly didn't go to my parents. And what did they know about this kind of thing, right? But I went to my brother, fully expecting that he was going to give me a hard time and tease me a lot. But he was the only guy I knew who had had experience kissing a girl. And I was wrong. He didn't tease me. He said, "Well, you're going to have to practice. Do you want to kiss her when you leave?" I nodded. It was safer. Kiss and run was my attitude. "Good," he says. "Okay, I'll drive down that night to pick you up. When you see the car in the driveway, you say to Evelyn, 'Well, I'm going to go home now.' And then here's what you do. You walk up to her, okay? You put your hands on her shoulder, and you turn her towards you. And then you take one step in, and you move your head in very slowly down to her so she'll know what you're up to, because you don't want to surprise her." Now, I sort of wondered if maybe I didn't want to surprise her. "Don't worry. I bet she wants to kiss you, too." I find that hard to believe. "Yeah, right. Now, hey, pay attention here, Bob. So you move your head toward her slowly. Look her in the eye. Try to look like how you feel." "You mean scared?" "No, I mean like how you feel about her." This confused me, but I nodded. I wanted to get on with it. "Now, bring your face down to hers, and as you get real close, tilt your face a little, so that way your noses won't bump." "Whoa, I didn't know that. That made perfect sense. So, should I hold my breath?" I think that happens automatically." "I never thought about it," he said. "Well, how long do I hold the kiss?" Don't worry, you'll know. When Mr. Vavruska comes up behind you with a cleaver, that's the time to stop. Oh, yeah, very funny. Very funny. He finished by saying, now you need to practice. So I did, in my room, alone. I would practice moving up to her, putting my hands on her shoulder, turning her towards me, taking one step in, leaning down, turning my head to the side. It just seemed there was an awful lot to practice. What I would do is I would kiss the back of my hand. But then my mouth would get very dry. I thought, well, I should lick my lips. Then, no, that doesn't feel like that would be very good. So then I'd dry my lips. In other words, I was going nuts. Finally, the night came. It was a really warm night. My brother dropped me off, patted me on the back, and said, good luck and relax, will you? And Evelyn and I danced. And of course, the only thing I could think of was the kiss. Finally, my brother's car comes. I am sweating like a buffalo. My records are already packed up. I pick up the box, and then I realize I can't have a box in my hands. I need both hands. So put them down again. And then I walk up to her. I put my hands on her shoulders. And from that moment on, I forgot everything. It was so intense, it felt unreal. The world fell away, and all that there existed in the universe was the lovely Evelyn with smooth skin and full lips. Lips. I moved my head toward her. She looked up at me, and she realized what I was going to do, and she didn't turn away. And then we got closer and closer, and then, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. Oh, it was the moment of moments, and then it was over. Neither one of us said a word. What was there to say? I picked up my records. I ran out the front door and jumped in the car. My brother said, well, how'd it go? All I could do was smile. He looked at me and said, never mind, I can see it. And the ride home. Ah, the world was different. It had changed. It was like I was looking through a soap bubble or something, with everything charged and alive and vivid. I could feel the night air coming through the open window on my cheeks and in my hair. I really felt everything I touched, my jeans, the car seat upholstery. I really heard the hum of the engine. Everything was beautiful. The night couldn't contain my feelings. And I lay in bed for the longest time, thinking, I'm in love. And thinking, I want to do this again. And I immediately started plotting. Well, it's early August. I got 4 more weeks. School doesn't start till Labor Day. If I go down and see her twice a week for 4 weeks, 4 times 2 is 8, I might be able to kiss her 8 more times. This kept me up half the night. Now, the next time I went down to see Evelyn, I went in, hi, Mr. Vavruska, hi, Mrs. Vavruska, went out on the sun porch, put my records down, and as I took my first record out, Evelyn said, my mother says you shouldn't kiss me anymore. Your mother said what? My mother said not to kiss me anymore. How did she know, Evelyn? And she said, I told her. Oh, Evelyn. I didn't know that girls told their mothers those things. It never crossed my mind. I wouldn't have told my mother if I was being tortured with sharp sticks. I didn't understand what would make a girl tell her mother that she'd been kissed, especially running the risk that her mother would say, don't do it anymore. Huh. I was really depressed the whole evening as we danced. I didn't want to get Mr. Vavruska mad at me. He was a tank, and I was a scrawny little 15-year-old. So I went home that night, and I didn't kiss her. But I started thinking about ways that I was going to get around this prohibition. I mean, I was smart enough. I could find a way. But the next morning, my parents announced that they and I were about to take a 2-week vacation and drive up into New England, visiting relatives and spots of historic interest. And I was to come along? Wait, no, you never said anything about this. Bobby, we've been talking about this since June. You haven't been listening. Thought maybe I could weasel my way out of it. How come Don isn't going? Because he can't leave his job. Don drove a milk delivery truck. I was stuck. They had me there. For the last 2 summers, I had had a job cutting lawns for a local landscaping service. But this summer, there'd been a drought, and the lawns dried up, and I was laid off. I didn't have a job, so I didn't have a reason for staying home. And I couldn't say that I wanted to stay because of Evelyn. My mother still really didn't approve of her. I wasn't sure exactly what it was. I think Evelyn's calling me at first set the tone rather poorly. And maybe my mom perceived a junk dealer's daughter as more, perhaps promiscuous than a girl from the solid middle class would be. My mom certainly believed in class. I had no choice. I had to go. Well, I went with them, but my feeling was, okay, they can make me go, but they can't make me have a good time. If I was going to suffer, everyone had to suffer. But before I left, I wrote Evelyn a love letter. The first love letter I had ever written in my life. And of course, I didn't have an idea at all what to say. So I copied the lyrics off of one of my 45s. A song that was never popular, but I loved it. It was a ballad. It was called When You're Alone by the Daps. Yes, the Daps. The lyrics went, "When you're alone, darling, please think of me. When you're alone, is it love that you see?" I thought those were pretty good lines. Of course, I had to play the stupid record 30 times before I got all the words copied off it. I wrote it, sealed it up, mailed it. And then my parents and I were off on this trip through New England. I don't have a lot of memories of that trip, but I do have this one picture of us stopping at West Point. We're standing by some cannons overlooking the Hudson River, and my father must have asked another tourist to take a picture of us because my mother and father and I are there, and they're smiling, and I'm looking like I've just been chewing on some aspirin. At last, the 2 weeks were over, and I was back. The first thing I did was call Evelyn. I couldn't wait to go down and see her. There were still 2 more weeks of summer left. "Evelyn, Evelyn, I'm back. Can I come down tonight?" And she said, "I can't see you anymore." Or did she say, "I won't see you anymore"? Whatever. Her voice was cool and distant. It chilled me. She wouldn't give me a reason why. And the conversation ended badly. It was all bad. It was very bad. It was terrible. I went back to my brother. I was so confused about women. "Don, why do women behave this way? What's wrong with them?" I told him the whole story. And the only thing he could think of was that Evelyn might have shown her mother the letter. Ah, no. If she had been foolish enough to tell her mother I kissed her, yeah, she might be foolish enough to show her the letter. Or maybe Mrs. Vavruska, or even Mr. Vavruska, opened the letter first and it never even got to her. Who knows? One thing was real clear, though. My first summer love affair was over. The end. So, for the final 2 weeks, I walked around morose, depressed, feeling worse than I had even on the trip, because now I had nothing to look forward to. And I never saw Evelyn again. 2 years later, I graduated from high school. And that summer, when I was out at my grandparents' home, I heard from Evelyn's older sister. She told me that the year before, Evelyn had gotten pregnant. Gee, I guess my mom was right. Evelyn had left high school, and in her 4th month of pregnancy, she contracted polio. Remember, this was the 50s, before any of the polio vaccines. They took her to the hospital, And while she was in the hospital, she got pneumonia. I guess it was all too much for her system. She died. She was 17. I have this wonderful memory of Evelyn as this very innocent, sweet, inarticulate young girl, as I was inarticulate. And we cared for each other. And we had this one summer when we danced. And when we kissed. So I'd like to raise a glass. Here's a toast to all those who gave us our first kiss.